صل على محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم حق أن تقوم فيه، فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين. وقال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام: من ترك الشهوات كان حرا. صلوات. We are getting close to the end of the month of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the month of Sha'ban, with all the blessings that this month has, and all the mawalid, the birthdays of our great personalities and nuraniyat of this month. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and to give us the tawfiq to benefit from the remaining days of this great month of Sha'ban al-Mu'azzam. And we are getting close to the arrival of Shahrullah, the month of Allah, where everyone is invited to be a life, a guest, mihman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are, as mu'mins, supposed to prepare ourselves for the arrival of the holy month. Our holy prophet delivered his khutbatun sha'baniyya in the end of the month of Sha'ban, and informed all of us with some of the greatest blessings of this month of Ramadan. Every ibadat that a mu'min performs has hikmat and wisdom behind it, and the hikmat of every ibadat is to achieve the taharat in the qalb, so that we can become mahbub and beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who himself is also tayyib and tahir, and he loves tahara. And the only thing that can make us mutaqarrib and muqarrab and close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is staying away an-nazahatu an-dunya. That means staying away from the attachments of this dunya. That's the biggest najasat. Because every other najasat, every other haram is done by the human being because he has some attachment towards the world of matter. And he wants to do something material, something related to his body. So anything which has a connection to this dunya is dangerous if we are not cautious about it. And a person who is connected to this dunya can never be qareeb and muqarrab towards Allah. So in when it comes to the ahkam, the hukm of wudu and tayammum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that this is so that we can become tahir. So why are we supposed to do the wudu in Islam? And why are we supposed to do tayammum in Islam? Yuridu Allahu walakin yuridu liyutahhirakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to cause any haraj, any hardship for you. Allah wants you to become tahir. Allah wants to clean. And well, for the sake of wudu, somebody can say we are using the water, so obviously the water will make us clean. But that's not the actual cleanliness which we are intending in Islam. If that was the actual cleanliness, then why is Allah asking us to become clean for in the sake of tayammum? The tayammum, we are not using any water. So nobody can think of getting physically cleaned up by using the soil. You cannot become clean by using the soil. You will become soily. Isn't that right? So this forces us to look at the ayat of tayammum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say? فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا سَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. So we learn in the light of this verse from Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 6. So if you people don't find water, do tayammum from the clean ground. فَمْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ. Do mas'h on your faces and hands. فَمْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْهُ مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لَيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَاجٍ. Allah does not want to make a hardship for you. وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَحِّرَكُمْ. But Allah wants to make you clean. Now we are talking about wudu, isn't that right? There is no use of water in tayammum. We are talking about tayammum. There is no use of water in tayammum. If the cleanliness was related to the zahiri, the apparent cleanliness only related to the body, then it would not make sense for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَحِّرَكُمْ, while we are using the soil for tayammum from the sa'id. Actually, some of the fuqaha have said, when you are doing the tayammum, well, tayammum is allowed to be done on stone as well. Isn't it right? We studied in the fiqh class on the Wednesdays for the men, and those are the things where ma yutayammamu bihi. Those are the things upon which the tayammum is correct in our fiqh. And one of the things is stone. So if you find a stone which is tahir, you can strike your both hands, ضَرْبُ الْيَدَيْنْ مَعَنْ, you have to strike your both hands together on the stone and do the tayammum. Isn't it right? On the stone it's okay. But some of the fuqaha have said that if the stone is completely clean and it has no dirt on the stone, the tayammum is batil. There has to be something from the stone, from the soil, touching your skin. Because the Holy Quran has said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, فَمْسَحُوا بِوَجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْهُ. So this minhu is dalil that there has to be something from the stone, some soil, some dirt, some ghubar, some dust coming to your hand from the stone, and it should strike your face and hand. There has to be something coming from the stone, soiling up your face and hand, in order for the tayammum to be correct. And that's the fatwa of Sheikh Murtada Al-Ansari, rahmatullah alayh. So some of the fuqaha consider tayammum to be batil if the stone is totally clean. So there has to be some soil coming from the stone on your forehead and your hand when you're doing tayammum. So here nobody can say, well, the reason, the hikmat and wisdom for tayammum is that Allah wants to make our body zahiran clean. So your body becoming zahiran, it is becoming soily. Isn't that right? So we are forced to understand that the taharat that we are discussing in the ahkam of wudu and tayammum is actually taharatun ma'nawiyya. It's the metaphysical taharat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make our souls clean. That's the real taharat. Not only the, obviously Islam has so many rules for the nizafatul badan, isn't that right? And nizafatu min al iman, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So we care about the cleanliness of the body as well in Islam. But this is not what distinguishes you from a kafir. The tamyiz, the distinguishing factor between a mu'min and kafir is not the cleanliness of the body. Because even a kafir, there are so many who clean their bodies. Isn't that right? But what distinguishes us from a kafir actually is taharat of the ruh. And this is what we learn when we perform the wudu and the tayammum. The ayat of Holy Quran, which I recited in the beginning of my speech, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is from Surah Tawbah, verse 108, لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تَقُومَ فِيهِ فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَتَطَهَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ. So that masjid, which is founded on piety, that deserves, for the Holy Prophet, he should better stand in that masjid. We are also supposed to do the same thing, what the Prophet is supposed to do. We are also supposed to go in those of the masjids which are founded on piety, those of the masjids which stand for taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we abstain from immoralities, unethical behaviors, harams, things that make our souls najis. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the people to become tahir. In that masjid which is founded on taqwa, you will find the men who are seeking taharat. People who are seeking taharat, and Allah loves the taharat, and Allah loves those who are striving to become tahir. So in Islam, ibadat that we perform are performed for the sake of becoming spiritually tahir. That's what we are seeking. When we do all the ibadat and the month of Ramadan, which is getting closer, which is the best opportunity for us to make our souls clean and earn the taharat, which is the hikmat of all the ibadat. So when a person reaches the stage of taharat, he becomes mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing in the universe will disobey him. Disobediences of the things around us are because of the najasat in the qalb. All the things around us are obedient, they are musakhkhar, they are under the command of a human being. Any and everyone who has taharat in the qalb, everything in the universe is already musakhkhar and obedient and under the command of the person who has taharat in his qalb. And the whole alam is muti. And that's the reason why you find that for the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, everything is under their walayatun takwiniya al-mutlaqa, their absolute control over the universe, because their taharat in the qalb was absolute. So we find, if you remember, we discussed in some of the previous Thursdays that in the alam al-madda we have hijabatun ghulmaniyya, we have the dark curtains. When you depart the alam al-madda and you reach towards the alam al-tajarrud, the alam al-malakut, well, there is no ghulmani, dark curtains in that world, but the curtains and hijabat are still there. The hijabat of that world are hijabatun nuraniyya. In order for us to cross the hijab, which is nurani, we have to have more nur in our qalb, which is stronger in its intensity than the hijab which is available in the alam al-malakut. If your qalb has higher nuraniyat than the hijab al-nurani, then you can cross the hijab. So every level of those marahil and levels has a requirement of nuraniyat, requirement of the taharat, in other words, taharat of the qalb, and that's how the people are supposed to cross. So finally, those who manage to cross all the levels, and the makhluqat which are found in the alam al-nur are the highest of the makhluqat, highest from the sense that they never sinned towards Allah. The makhluqat in the earth are the highest of all. Some of the makhluqat on earth are superior than all the makhluqat in the alam al-nur and alam al-tajarrud. But I said that the makhluqat in alam al-nur are superior in the sense, from one jihad, that they never sinned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what makes them superior than most of the human beings. Well, some of the human beings who are on the earth are afdal than all the malaika and all the angels and all those who are present in the alam al-tajarrud, because obviously they never sinned as well. Plus, they did the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite the fact they had the opportunity to go for najasat, to go towards the alaqat of dunya, connections with this dunya, but they avoid it. So as soon as a person reaches that high by doing the ibadat, reaches the hikmat, which is the taharat of the qalb in its highest level, by crossing all the hijabat of nur, we find that now every makhluk is already crossed. He has already gone past all the creatures. Someone who has gone past all the creatures will find that all the creatures will start obeying. Lillahi junudus samawati wal ard. Isn't that right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has everything in the heavens and earth are part of His army. Everything of the heavens and earth are the army of God. So everything is obedient towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person who achieves the taharat as a result of these ibadat will have the asarun ilahiyya, will have the asar appearing in his qalb, and because of his taharat, and he will become mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person becomes mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah never leaves his awliyaullah alone. This is the rahmat of Allah. So what we are supposed to do, brothers and sisters, as mu'mins, as those who care about ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the holy month of Ramadan, which is getting close to us, is to pay attention towards the hikmat of ibadat, which is achieving the taharat by abstaining from dunya and becoming mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we become part of awliyaullah, then the zimam of the umur, the control of the affairs, will now be in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah never leaves His beloved servants alone. He always takes care of them. And even for the children, the same has been said. Isn't that right? What we are supposed to do is to make our children part of the awliya Allah. In kana أولادك أولياء الله فإن الله لا يضيع أولياءه. If your children are part of أولياء الله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow أولياء الله to get wasted. وإن كان أولادك أعداء الله, and if your أولاد are the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَا هَمُّكَ بِأَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ, then why are you worried about the a'da of Allah? So what is the duty, the fariza of the parents is to make their children part of awliyaullah, and the rest Allah will Himself take care of them. Whether the father remains in this world, the mother remains in this dunya, nobody is going to remain forever. Isn't it right? Everybody is going to die, you know, one day. But the job, the fariza of a father and a mother is to strive to make their kids become awliya Allah, and that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of everything else. So we find the masjid is the place where taharat of the qalb is achieved. Masjid is the place where even zikrud dunya, talking about dunya, is makruh. Isn't that right? We are not supposed to come to the masjid and start talking about dunya. That's makruh. Allah dislikes it. So we are supposed to talk about taqwa and things related to our fariza and duties that make us nurani and muqarrab towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find that the Qur'an is also accessible to those who have taharat. So, having access towards the Qur'an similarly requires the taharat and the qalb. And the more a person acquires the taharat and the qalb, the more he will find that the access towards the batin of Qur'an will be given to him. The less taharat a person has, the less access to the batin he will be given. That's what he deserves. He doesn't deserve more than that. And those who do not have any taharat in the batin do not deserve to understand nothing of the batin of Quran. Because Quran is not an ordinary book. That's the final word. Isn't that right? And that's a book which serves as a criteria, as a yardstick, as a means of correcting the deviations that took place in the previous books because of the desires of the elite class who were worshipping their pleasures of this dunya. Isn't that right? So there were changes taking place in the previous books, and in order for us to find out what were the changes, you can turn to the Quran as the yardstick and discover the deviations that took place. So, in our religion Islam, we respect all the previous books and all the previous prophets. And we consider the Holy Quran to be the final word, which is the yardstick. And that's where Allah has promised to protect this book. And this book has a zahir and several butun, up till 70, according to some of the ahadith. And some others say 7. So 7 butun of Quran are there, and having access to the butun requires the taharat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that innahu la Qur'anun kareem fi kitabin maknoon. This is a respectable book. Certainly, Qur'an is a respectable book. Fi kitabin maknoon, inside the hidden book. Qur'an is inside the kitabin maknoon, the hidden book. La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. No one can touch it except those who are mutahhar. Obviously, the misdaq of this ayat is the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. Because in the complete sense of the word mutahharun, they are the only ones who are the misdaq in the complete sense of the word al-mutahharun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say for them, innama yuridu Allahu liyuzhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahla al-bayti wa yutahhirakum tathira. Now our scholars have discussed elaborate discussions in the ayatul tathir, irada of Allah, and tafsir is divided in iradatun takwiniyya and iradatun tashri'iyya. If you believe it is iradatun tashri'iyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's not a fadilat for Ahlul Bayt. Because iradatun tashri'iyya for achieving the taharat is there for everyone. Isn't that right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everyone to be mukallaf. So when everyone is made mukallaf from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's behalf, everybody is supposed to achieve the tahara. And Allah has done the iradat al-tashri'iyya when He sent down the sharia on the qalb of Rasulullah. He is doing the irada. He's not sending the sharia without the iradat al-tashri'iyya. So when He sends down the sharia, He is doing the iradatul tashri'iyya, and he wants every person to become tahir and achieve the taharat, which is achieved by following the rulings, the divine teachings from the unseeable world. But only we find that after the iradatul tashri'iyya, there is no guarantee that a human can succeed. Despite the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done the iradatun tashri'iyya, there is no guarantee for the success of any human being. Unless and until we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performs the iradatun takwiniyya for the Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam, we find that's what makes the fazilat of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that Allah has performed the iradatul takwiniyya in their favor. So there is no possibility of any rids to get close to Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Because the difference between iradatul tashri'iyya and iradatul takwiniyya is that in iradatul tashri'iyya, it is possible, at-takhalluf al-murad is possible. And that's exactly what is taking place. Allah has done the iradatul tashri'iyya when He sent down the sharia, but an overwhelming majority of the human beings are not obeying. So they are doing takhalluf al-murad. They are doing disobedience towards the iradatul tashri'iyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? That's the freedom that Allah has given to the humans, to choose the right from the wrong. And most of the people are choosing falsehood over the righteousness, unfortunately, because of their material pleasures and desires. So only some precious few people are the ones who are choosing the righteousness over falsehood. So iradatul takwiniyya, when it takes place in somebody's favor, هذه الإرادة لا تتخلف عن المراد. This never, never goes against the intended purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the إرادة تكوينية, so there is no possibility at all for any rids to to get close to the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt, salam, and their taharat is absolute in its complete and fullest form. So, brothers and sisters, it is very important to remember that when we do the wudu and tayammum, which is and how we achieve the taharat al-ma'naviyyah, the metaphysical taharat in the qalb, this removes the najasat, which we call the connection with this dunya, through takabbur, through the arrogance and ghurur, and the the istikbar of the person towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, according to what my teacher had said in his tafsir, that the sign of the person who has the tahara of the qalb is that digar dar muqabale khudawan nemi guyad man nadaram ana. He doesn't say any further in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my opinion is this. The sign of a person who has achieved the taharat in the qalb is that he's no longer going to furnish his personal opinion in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who is presenting his personal opinion in the presence of the and the ahkam nurani of the shara must understand that he doesn't have the taharat in the qalb. So, this month of Ramadan, which is getting closer, which is the month of taharat and the month of ibadat and the month of wahi and the month of Quran and the month of dua and the month of istighfar and the month of Laylatul Qadr and the month of al-qada wal-qadr, right? The whole destiny of the human is decided and settled. So this is the time, this is such a precious time which is about to arrive, and one of the benefits of this month of Ramadan is what we learn in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that is mentioned in by Shaykh al-Saduq rahmatullah alayhi Kitab al-Amali, where Prophet said that Ya ayyuhal nas inna anfusakum marhunatum bi-a'malikum fafukuha bi-istighfarikum. So we learn in the light of this great hadith, although all the hadiths are equally great, that yourselves are under the seas, under the captivity. Mahboos is captured, is Raheem, is under the captivity of your amal. فَفُكُّهَا بِاسْتِغْفَارِكُمْ. So free yourself through the istighfar. This is the time, the month of Ramadan, to free the souls by doing the istighfar. The souls are already under the captivity of the amal. See, the Holy Quran has already said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِيمٌ. Isn't that right? كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِيمٌ. So every person is basically under the كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَ. I'm sorry. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَ. Every nafs is under the captivity of what it has earned. So our amal is the one which are holding us under captivity. And these amal that we perform, only those people who are ashabul yameen are the ones whom Quran considers to be free. Illa ashabul yameen. Only the ashabul yameen are the ones who are free. They are not under the captivity. They are the really ahrar and hur and free people. So Islam is a religion of freedom. It wants us to set us free from the captivity of our desires, so that we can truly become servants and slaves towards our Creator. And so we find that Prophet has said that inna anfusakum ya ayyuhan nas inna anfusakum marhunatum bi a'malikum, yourselves are under the rahm of your a'mal, fafukuha, so free them through the your istighfar. Now these a'mal that the people perform, the sins that they perform, are serving as chains and burdens over their necks and their backs. Isn't that right? يَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Isn't that right? The Prophet's job is to remove, to shed off the burden which was over their backs, and the أَغْلَال, the chains. So they are the sins that people perform serve as the burdens and the chains that are burdening them down and weighing them down, and this istighfar makes them free. So so our scholars rightfully say that the religion is there to make the human being free. Religion protects you, but you have to protect your religion. If you cannot protect your religion, then obviously there is no way the religion can come and protect you. The religion has the guarantee to protect you and defend you, as long as you are ready to protect your religion. And that's the reason why the tawaghit throughout the centuries have been working hard to make the religion as their captain, so they can present their brand of the religion to the people. Isn't that right? Look at what Imam Ali alayhi salam has said. In the هذا الدين كان أسيرا في أيدي الأشرار. This religion was أسير in the hands of أشرار. يؤمل فيه بالهوى ويطلب به الدنيا. That's what they were doing. They were acting on the هوى النفس, خاهشات نفساني, ويطلب به الدنيا. And they were seeking dunya through the religion, abusing the name of religion, misusing the name of religion to protect their dunya and to protect their own interests. Isn't that right? So this religion had been made captive. So brothers and sisters, month of Ramadan is the best opportunity for us to make sure that we protect our religion, so that the religion can protect us reciprocally. And the person who is captive of his desires has two signs. First of all, he loves to stay in dunya. Second of all, he doesn't want to face death. Anybody who loves to stay in dunya and doesn't want to face maut, these are the two signs that this person is a captive of his own desires. Whereas the religion has come to teach us two principles which are going to replace the earlier two, which are the fact that don't get attached to this dunya. The solution that the religion provides towards the first problem, first sign of being attached, people are attached towards this dunya, and that's why they are captive of their desires, because they want to protect their material interests. Isn't that right? So the religion says, don't get attached to this dunya. Don't get attached to anything belonging to the world of matter. And get attached to everything that belongs to the metaphysical world, which is eternal. And everything of the material world is bound to be devastated when the day of judgment happens. Nothing will survive. So if we get attached to what is bound to be devastated, we are talking about pain and suffering. If you get attached with things which are eternal, you are talking about eternal happiness, because you are now getting connected with something which is going to stay forever. So the blessings of the paradise and the punishments of the hellfire are eternal. Second of all, those who are afraid of death, the solution that the religion has provided to us, that is to make sure that death is actually the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death is actually meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we understand that we have been performing all the ibadat throughout our lives to seek the taharat, so that we can get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is tayyib and tahir, and He loves the taharat for us, then basically maut is nothing but meeting with the mahbub and the beloved of the human beings, and that is the liqa'ullah, and that is meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ashabul yameen are the only ones. Remember the story when the Holy Prophet asked his ashab, some of his ashab, to bring the firewood, and they're right in the desert. And they replied back to him that, well, how can you find the firewood? It's a desert. It's not a jungle. It's not a wilderness. It's a desert. You don't find no plantation in the desert. So they dispersed, they got dispersed, somebody went on that side, somebody went on the other side, to just go to a little bit distances and try to search something, at least some plantation, something, so that it can be burned for to lit the fire. All those bunch of companions, they got dispersed. Finally, when they returned back, everybody brought something. Little bit was collected by them. And now they all put what they collected, and it became a huge fire. The same ashab who were minutes ago saying to the Prophet, how can we find the firewood or any plantation to burn in this barren desert, finally brought something with them, and it became a huge fire. And when it became a huge fire, that's where the Holy Prophet said, look at the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, the Prophet said, هَكَذَا تَسْتَمِعُ الظُّنُوبُ. That's how the sins get gathered. People keep on doing a little bit, isn't it right? And we don't realize what we are doing sometimes. And finally, we find all of a sudden, when the death arrives, that's where we end up seeing what we have been earning. And all those sins are now burdening and weighing down the back of the person so he cannot stand and walk. The Prophet was seeing those haqqaiq and realities, so that's why he cannot tolerate. Obviously, he performs everything for the sake of Allah. So, ashabul yameen, the people of Yameen are the only ones who are free in the dictionary of the Holy Quran. Everyone else is not free. Everyone else is under the captivity of the A'mal. And Ashabul Yameen are the ones who are going to receive their Book of Deeds on the Day of Judgment comfortably in their right hand. The rest of the people, there will be books where we have Tatayurul Kutub, books will be flying. Isn't it right? And that's about the scare. People don't know what's going to happen to me, whether my Book of Deeds will be handed over to me in the right hand or the left hand. That's a very, very, you know, crucial stage of the human destiny. Because once you receive the book in your left hand, then you have received the book in your left hand. So now people of the left hand will either be given the book in their left hand, or the books will be hanging in their necks. That's what we say in the dua when we read at the time of performing the wudu. Allahumma la tu'tini kitabi bi shimali. Isn't it right? Oh my Lord, don't give me my book into my left. وَلَا تَجْعَلْهَا مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِي. And don't make the book of A'mal be hanging in my neck. وَلَا مِنْ وَرَاءِ ظَاهِرِي. nor from the back, because some people will be given the book from their backs, not from their fronts. This is a disrespect, because Ashab al-Shimal don't have the respect. They don't care about Allah. So we find some people have the book of deeds hanging in their necks, and some people given from behind their backs, and only the Ashab al-Yameen are the ones who are given the books in their right hand. But the reason why they are called Ashab al-Yameen is not because of the fact, my teacher was saying, not because of the fact that they receive the book in the right hand, you know, but actually the real reason, you know, is because the a'mal that these people used to perform back then in the life of dunya were full of yumn and barakah. So yameen is actually in Arabic derived from the word of yumn. So all the a'mal of ashab al-yameen were full of barakah and yumn. That's why they are called ashab al-yameen. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to achieve the real hurriyat and the real freedom, the true freedom which is guaranteed by Islam, the real freedom for the human being, to set our souls free from the captivity of sins, from slavery of our own desires, slavery of dunya, slavery of wishes and whims, and make ourselves free to worship one Lord through His ibadat. And that's how we achieve the taharat in the qalb and get close towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who loves taharat and loves those who are striving for taharat. May Allah give us the tawfiq to achieve the hikmat of ibadat in the remaining days of the month of Sha'ban and in the upcoming Shahrullah, the month of Ramadan. And also to give us the tawfiq to perform the istighfar and to benefit from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is going to be specific rahmat of Allah, which is going to be there in this holy month. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin, waqdul al-Kuffar wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din, waqdul man qadal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wahfaz wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin, wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin, wa sayyim al-Waliy al-Faqih qa'id al-Muslimin. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين